Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. And again, we thank you for the awesome gift you've given us of prayer, that we can use that powerful weapon to come against the strongholds of the evil one and against every argument against your word. And so, Lord, how we have much to pray for. There's so much against you and arguing against your word. And so guide us this morning in this prayer time that we would use these moments effectively as led by your spirit. And we want to begin, Lord, by looking at a prayer in the Bible one more time, another time, I should say. Matthew 9, a couple of verses of 20-22 there, Lord, when the interruption of the woman with the 12-year issue of blood, as Jesus had responded to Jairus's plea to come and heal or raise his daughter from the dead in the preceding verse. And so, Lord, may we understand what you have for us today, and may we glean from it. First, Lord, we just want to worship you. We want to sing a hymn recognizing your holiness, Lord. Holy is God the Father, holy is God the Son, and holy is God the Holy Spirit. And so lead us now as we join together and sing this hymn in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are holy. And Lord, you have said, be ye holy as I am holy. And so, Lord, enable us to be set apart, to be sanctified for you, and to live a life that is holy because of you directing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to look again this morning at Matthew chapter 9, and frequently these verses are kind of blended together, it would seem, because we first have, as we mentioned last week, in the Matthew account, it's much briefer than it is in the Luke and Mark accounts, but we have these two miracles where Jesus has been healing, and he's been calming the waves and stopping the wind and doing one miracle after another, and yet you'll notice in these miracles he's always telling the people, don't tell anything about this, about raising people from the dead and those kinds of things, because that wasn't his primary purpose to be here. His primary purpose to be here was to die for our sins. But as an authentication of who he was, the Son of God, he was given these miracles. And of course, he did say that he came to heal the sick and restore sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And so then as we get on into near the end of chapter 9 here, we have this ruler of the synagogue. We are given his name Jairus in the other Gospels, who comes to Jesus in this great crowd and says, "Master, Master, my daughter is perishing. Come, come, come." And we noticed last week that Jesus responded to that cry, and he arose and followed him and his disciples. So now we have, boom, another interruption. And if you just stop and think about, there's kind of a three-ring circus going on here almost, because if you think of where Jairus is in a terrible state of need, crying out for his only 12-year-old daughter that she's dying, and then somebody runs up and says she's already dead, and Jesus said, "If you only believe," right? And so he arises to go to her home. Okay, so that's Jairus's thing. Now you have Jesus here. He's got these crowds all mashing in on him and pushing him, and here comes Jairus. And you know, normally the leaders of the synagogue were very much against Jesus. They were always all over him for healing on the Sabbath and that kind of a thing. But here is one who is seeking him out, and he worships him, as we mentioned last week. The very first thing he did was worshiped Jesus, and makes this plea, and Jesus responds. And so Jesus is on his way now, and boom, here it is, suddenly a woman who had a 12-year hemorrhage of blood. And that's very, very serious, because under the law, anytime a woman was having her normally monthly cycle, she was impure. And if the monthly cycle went on, or if the bleeding went on, she was impure until it stopped. And in the meantime, she was defiled. Everything she touched was defiled. The bed that she lay on was defiled. The chair that she sat on was defiled. She was to have no public contact. She couldn't go to worship. She couldn't do anything. She was an outcast. She might as well have been a leper. She didn't have to say unclean in a sense, and yet she was unclean under the law. And here, she had had this condition for 12 years. So that meant probably she had no friends. She couldn't be around anybody. She'd been an outcast for 12 years, and the other accounts are told that she saw doctors till she spent all the money she had. So, you know, like even today, there's situations today where, with all of our medical science, we have people who have illnesses that man can't figure out, right? God doesn't always give us the ability to figure those things out. And here, 12 years of being not just sick, but being an outcast, a total outcast. And she wasn't supposed to go in public, but she heard, apparently, that Jesus was near. Now, you shift, we're still talking about Jesus, or at least that's where I said I was talking about. So here Jesus is busy, crowds pressing, Jairus comes up, he responds to that, gets ready to go, and then here's another interruption. How would you have handled that? How would you have handled that? Well, I just know my flesh and its impatience is always right up there at the top. Don't you know how busy I am? Well, okay, if your daughter's dying, I guess I will go there. Okay, what do you mean you want to interrupt? There's somebody else wants to interrupt. I don't have time for that. I'm on my way to raise somebody from the dead. You know, I'm busy now, right? No, Jesus is always patient. He's always filled with compassion. He's always attentive. What a lesson for us, huh? What a lesson for us. So that's Jesus. Now, here is the woman with the 12-year issue of blood, and I've already started to talk about that, about being such an outcast. And we notice now, it's kind of interesting to me anyway, that it says suddenly. Now, this means a complete interruption, instantaneously as soon as Jesus arose and with his disciples to go to Jairus' house. Instantaneously, a woman who had a flow of blood or a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years came from behind. I bet she was scared out of her mind, because all anybody had to do was recognize her and point at her and say unclean, and she would be outcast, put in prison or worse, maybe even stoned. And but here she is. She doesn't approach Jesus directly because she feels, in a sense, I believe, so unworthy and so unclean. But she says to herself, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. What faith? What faith for an outcast? Just touch his garment. Now, we believe that that meant the tzitzits, which hang down from the four corners, they were these blue tassels that under the law all Jews were to wear. Why? Because it was stylish and it was really in? No, because it was really out. Probably look weird. But God gave his people different things, whether it be the diet or whether it be the tzitzits. They were to be different. They were to be different from everybody else. It wasn't because they were to be cool, but they were to be different. They were to be set apart. And it says the purpose of those in Numbers, it says that when they would look at those, they would remember to keep his commandments. So every time they looked at those tzitzits, they were reminded to keep his commandments. He said, for I am holy, for I am holy. I wonder if we shouldn't wear some tzitzits, right? Would that help? I don't know. It didn't help too much in some of the cases here. But at any rate, so if she could just touch one of those, or the hem of his garment, it says, but it's probably one of those tassels, because that'd be easier to touch than anything else, she would be healed. So here she comes from behind, but before, now this is a case where Jesus is not touching her because he doesn't even know about this. Well, he does probably, but I mean not directly. So she comes from behind and she touches him. And immediately he turns around. And it doesn't say that in the Matthew account, but in the other account it says, who touched me? Now, what would you have done if you were the woman? You're scared to death that you'll be found out. And now, not only does Jesus let it be known that you've touched him, he stops, turns around, and what does he say? He says, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. Wow. Why would he publicly say that, do you think?
Increase their faith,
yes, I believe so. To increase the people's faith, I think to increase the disciples' faith because they're on their way to Jairus' house. I think it was to increase Jairus' faith. I think it was also to make a public proclamation to the people that she had been healed because now her cover is blown. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, you said you were healed, but you're not. You're still unclean. You're still an outcast. But Jesus has let her know she's healed. He's let the people know she's healed. And he's let her know why. Because she touched his garment, she was healed? No, because of her faith. Because of her faith. And also, I think the graciousness of our master here is making it very clear. She didn't take something. She didn't steal something from him. He gave it to her. He gave her the healing. And that's our Jesus. He gives. He doesn't require us to steal from him. He gives to us. And so that's the picture here now that we have. So she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Would you have thought that after 12 years and going to every doctor you could find and then none of them could heal you? Would you not have been just about hopeless? Just about totally hopeless? There's no hope at all. She doesn't say, if I could just touch him, maybe there's a slight chance I'll be healed. She says, if I touch him, I shall be made well. Oh, ye of little faith is the way I look at it with my case anyway. But that's what she said. I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, notice the rapidity here, healing like that, be of good cheer, daughter. How many times does Jesus refer to women as daughters in the Bible? Anybody know?
How many times?
Once.
Only once?
Just this time. Just this time. You would think, here's an outcast who by law publicly should not make her appearance known, who by law anything she touches is defiled. Kind of reminds you of the leper in a way, doesn't it? The leper was the other way around. Jesus touched him, and rather than Jesus being defiled, he healed the leper. Here in this case, the woman touches, but instead of being defiling, as the law says, anything she touches is defiled, Jesus healed her, right? Now, what about you and the world? The world's defiled. We're not. We're touching the world. Is the world defiling us, or are we healing the world? Something to think about. Not in the same way the Son of God would heal, but in the same way we should be a witness for who we are and who he is. Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well, and the woman was made well from that hour. She was healed immediately and totally. Amazing, isn't it? Well, may we be that witness. May we be bold enough to approach our Lord in times of need, even when we feel we have no basis at all to approach him because of our unworthiness, as this outcast was here. And even though we are without hope, maybe, in certain times in our life, as we're in a situation where we just, you know, 12 years without any, 12 years and you're broke, you're still an outcast. That's a long time. You know, if she was married, she wouldn't have had a husband anymore, I don't believe, because she would have defiled anything she touched. And so she couldn't be around anybody. I mean, I can't even think of how bad that would be, because we don't have that here in this culture. We don't quarantine anybody here, really. But that's the way it was there in that time, in that, period. So Jesus, in his awesomeness, heals her. And now next week, we'll go right back into the Jairus and Jairus' daughter situation, and we'll look at that. Father, we thank you for this prayer today and how it was answered. If I can just touch your garment, Lord, I will be healed. And Lord, as we think back how, without even touching any physical part of you, you healed us. You healed us just by touching the awareness that we need to believe in you and in what you've done for us. And whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. And so you saved us, Lord, from a lifetime up until that point anyway of sin and really being an outcast in the kingdom to being healed. And so, Lord, it is your grace, all by your grace. And we want to thank you this morning again. And Lord, we want to have that compassion that we see in you to pray for the lost, those who do not know you yet. We want to pray for the body of Christ, which is your church here and around the world. And Lord, as you would put on our heart things such as rain, such as government issues, such as the circumstances surrounding our country and an election coming up and all, and Lord, just the just in the last year, how far we have fallen as a nation, really, now embracing and promoting as key issues in a presidential candidacy, horrible thing. These things which are so hideous to you, we're embracing and passing as laws of this land. And so we are, what are we to do? We need to pray. And so here we are this morning. So lead us in this time of prayer now as we're led by your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.